Well, that's an amazing parasha. It's one that boggles my mind so many times, because within 3 days they'd forgotten that they'd been saved, they'd forgotten the miracles that had already happened. And so anyway, let's pray. Abba Father, I just pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see wondrous things from your Torah this day. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Yehovah, because you are my rock and my redeemer, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now to find my message. Right. Today, my message is called Already Above the Enemy. I'm taking it from our parasha reading from Shemot, Exodus 14, 31 to 15, 18. And so many people live their lives as if they are still living it before what Yeshua did on the stake for us, and accepting that. They've forgotten, like the Hebrews, of what Yeshua has done for them. And so I'm going to make that comparison today between the people of the Hebrews coming out of Egypt and those that have accepted Yeshua as their Messiah. So that's why I've titled it Already Above the Enemy. So if we go to that first scripture, so there's a little bit to read. When Israel saw the mighty deed that Yehovah had performed against the Egyptians, they feared Yehovah and they believed in Yehovah and in his servant Moshe. Then Moshe and the people of Israel sang this song to Yehovah. I will sing to Yehovah, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he threw in the sea. Yah is who? Yah is my strength. Who's my strength? Yeah. Nobody else. Yah is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my Elohim. I will glorify him. My father's God, I will exalt him. Yehovah is a warrior. What is he? A warrior. Yehovah is his name. They'd forgotten that within 3 days. Within 3 days of singing this song, they'd forgotten it. The next slide, please. Paro's chariots and his army he hurled into the sea. His elite commanders were drowned in the Sea of Suf. It wasn't the Red Sea that was in our readings. It's the Sea of Suf, or the Reed Sea. The deep waters covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Yehovah, is sublimely powerful. Your right hand, Yehovah, shatters the foe. By your great majesty, you bring down your enemies. You send out your wrath to consume them like stubble. And with a blast from your nostrils, the waters piled up. The waters stood up like a wall, and the depths of the sea became firm ground. The enemy said, I will pursue and overtake, divide the spoil and gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword, my hand will destroy them. Next slide. You blew your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, Yehovah, among the mighty? Who is like you, sublime in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? You reached out with your right hand. The earth swallowed them. In your love, you led the people you redeemed. In your strength, you guided them to your holy abode. The peoples have heard and they tremble. Anguish takes hold of them, those living in Peleshet, and the chiefs of Edom are dismayed. Trepidation seizes the heads of Moab. All those living in Canaan are melted away. Next slide. Terror and dread fall on them by the might of your arm. They are still as stone until your people pass over. Yehovah, till the people you purchased pass over, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain, which is your heritage, the place Yehovah that you made your abode, the sanctuary, Adonai, which your hands established. Yehovah will reign forever and ever. Amen. How long is he going to reign?
Forever
and ever. So they were singing all this, how mighty he was, what a warrior he was, how everyone that they were going to come across was going to be in fear and trepidation of him. But that went out of their minds within 3 days. The sons of Israel were freed from Egypt and Pharaoh was defeated. Death was circumvented and Yam Suf, or the Red Sea, was opened up wide at the power of Yehovah's right hand. Moshe had warned Pharaoh to let the people go or Yah's anger would fall upon Egypt. So the dynastic kingdom of Egypt fell to its wobbling knees at the almighty power of the one true living Yah. Moshe told Pharaoh numerous times to let Israel go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice. Now there's a very significant reason to that reference of 3 days. Not just to go into the wilderness, but it is a very important issue through the entire scriptures and the Kedavah HaShelachim, because every reference to that time period pointed ahead to the 3 day experience of Yeshua HaMashiach. Because they knew that Yeshua HaMashiach's death, his burial, and resurrection would be a 3 day event. It was 3 days from his death to his resurrection. And as much as there was more to be accomplished for Israel after their first 3 days of their journey, that is their need to enter the promised land and establish Yah's kingdom on the earth, there is so much more for the child of Yehovah after the experience of 3 days' journey of the death, burial, and resurrection with Yeshua HaMashiach. It's not by Yeshua HaMashiach, it's with. Because we took that 3 day journey if we obey Acts 2:38. And I know I reference this a lot, but it's true. So let's pull it up and refresh your memory as to what this scripture actually says. Acts 2:38, Kepha answered them, "Turn from sin, return to Yehovah, and each of you be immersed on the authority of Yeshua the Mashiach into forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh." We were crucified with Yeshua. We were buried with Yeshua and were risen into newness of life with Yeshua. He did it once. It took him 3 days to do it, but all of this we experienced with him. Well, that is what we have to get into our mindsets when we took our 3 days' journey as Yeshua did. It may have been 1 day for you. It may have been a long time between your accepting Yeshua and your immersion. But whatever the journey, you must make those first 2 steps before the Ruach HaKodesh can be activated in your life. You see, it takes death, burial, and resurrection with Yeshua HaMashiach to be saved. Acts 2:38 is a threefold command of repentance, immersion in Yeshua's name, and the reception of the Ruach HaKodesh is the fulfillment of the gospel in our lives. And since that is salvation, and since the scriptures say today is the day of salvation, we can experience the 3 days' journey in 1 day, or we can do it over a period of time. Many have repented, and many in the same day were immersed in water in Yeshua's name and received the immersion of the Ruach HaKodesh at the same time. It's happened. I've seen it happen. They took a 3 days journey in 1 day. This is possible purely and simply because the 3 days journey is a spiritual journey. It is as real as having experienced a 3 day journey as it is to say that we died with Yeshua 2,000 years ago. How could we die with him when he died 2,000 years ago? It is because he died as every human that ever would live died. We just need to recognize that and believe that it's true. Since he died as us, then we can say that we died 2,000 years ago with him. This is a huge step of faith for most people. And some therefore cannot take that step at all because they can't get into that mindset. And let me tell you, for all you women sitting here without husbands or listening online without husbands, this is a huge step of faith for men. Because of their logical mind, it's hard for them to make that step of faith. Because it's not logical. And we can't do it in a logical way. Because it means we have to believe through faith and not through logic. Yah has been opening up the truth so wonderfully over the last several months, especially with the immersions during Hanukkah. And we still have more immersions to do, and I'm hoping it's going to be this week. Well, I was, but I don't have a car. But we can still go on Malachi's car. But I'd like to get them over this week. So now we have been obedient to Acts 2:38. What comes next? Forget it? No. There's more to do. Maybe we sit there and twiddle our thumbs until Yeshua comes back. I don't think so. Actually, far from it. Now is when we have to enter the promised land. Once we've done those three things, we have to live as if we are in the promised land. When Israel left Egypt across the great Yam Suf and saw Yah drown Pharaoh's armies in it, the people sang the song that we read in Shemot 15. I love that song as they see Yah as he truly is and his miraculous rescue of them. But it doesn't take them too long to forget that they ever sang it. And that's what mind boggles me. In that song, there's a tone of victory over Egypt. They noticed, did you notice how they knew that Yehovah was a man of war? Now people say, Yah's not a man of war, he's a man of peace. But he is a man of war. He's a man of love. He won't allow wars, he's a man of love. Yes, he loves us so much that he sent his son, but he also is a warrior himself. They called him a warrior. Yah won the war for them. The enemies that were ahead shall hear what was done for them and be afraid. It said, Edom's chiefs or leaders, Moab's mighty men, and all the inhabitants of Canaan will melt in terror. Terror and dread will fall on them by the might of his arm. They are still as stone. They are petrified until Yah's people pass over into their land and defeat them too, as Yehovah defeated the Egyptians. Yehovah will bring them into the promised land, but we need to know the power of Yah that is upon us, since we were freed from sin by his power. The victory we felt when we were saved, but read about the thoughts of the people when it came to time to see the Canaanite and stand petrified to watch Yah's people cross into Canaan. They'd lost it all. They were too petrified because they saw the giants. We're like grasshoppers to them. In slide number 7, Numbers 13, 32 to 14, 4. It says they spread a negative report about the land that they had reconnoitred for the people of Israel by saying, "The land we pass through in order to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people we saw there were giant. We saw the Nephilim, the descendants of Anak, who was from Nephilim. To ourselves we looked like grasshoppers by comparison, and we looked that way to them too." And at this all the people of Israel cried out in dismay and wept all night long. Moreover, all the people of Israel began grumbling against Moshe and Aharon. The whole community told them, "We wish we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died here in the desert. Why is Yehovah bringing us to this land? Where will we die by the sword? Where we will die by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will be taken as booty. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "Let's appoint a leader to return to Egypt." That happened within 40 days of them coming out. Not long. I thought they were shouting for victory over Canaan before they even came near the Canaan. The trouble was they did not keep in their own memory of Egypt's defeat in their hearts as proof that they could conquer the enemy. This was always been a puzzlement to me. How can God do so much for them, and then in such a short time they lose their faith? They just don't trust him anymore. And poor old Moshe got the blame for everything. So he forgot. How could they forget their miracle of salvation so quickly? So let's go to Shemot 15 again. In Shemot 15, 17 and 19, it says, "You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain which is your heritage, the place, Yehovah, that you made your abode, the sanctuary, Adonai, which your hands established. Yehovah will reign forever and ever. The horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and with his cavalry into the sea. But Yehovah brought the sea waters back onto them while the people of Israel walked on dry land in the midst of the sea." It didn't take them long to forget all that. The reason for their faith in conquest of Canaan was for the horse of Pharaoh went with his chariots into the sea. They saw Yehovah defeat Egypt, so they knew he could defeat Canaan. But they forgot all about that ever so quickly, in my eyes. So if they would have kept that in mind, they would have seen the giants and said once again, "They will stand in fear as we pass over and plant the sanctuary in the land Yehovah has promised us." They would allow Yah to be the warrior that he was and go ahead in faith. We are so full of vim and vigor and vitality when we're newly saved. But the ones who grow feeble and weak and lose their composure are the ones who did not keep in mind the victories Yehovah gave them at the start. Yah has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What happened? Yah didn't change. They forgot. It had nothing to do with Yah changing his mind. Can we go to the next next slide, please, in Shemot 15:22 to 24. Moshe led Israel onwards from the Sea of Suf. They went out into the Shur desert, and after travelling 3 days, they found no water. They arrived at Marah, but couldn't drink the water there because it was bitter. And that's why it's called Marah. Marah means bitterness. And the people grumbled against Moshe and asked, "What are we to drink?" So once again, they're grumbling only 3 days after leaving, and they're not trusting Yah. They'd only been there 3 days, and soon bitterness rose up in the camp. They murmured against Moshe. They'd already forgotten their miraculous escape from slavery. Couldn't Yah deal with a bit of bitter water? Of course he could, and he did, in verse 25. Moshe cried to Yehovah, and Yehovah showed him a certain piece of wood, which he threw into the water and made the water taste good. There Yehovah made laws and rules of life for them, and there he tested them. You see, they were given the Torah there. Although it was put on the tablets later on, they were given the rules then. They had to start observing Shabbat from then. So, you know, the Torah wasn't just given later at Mount Sinai, it was given then. Yah told Moshe to cast a certain piece of tree or wood into the bitter waters, and it made the bitter waters sweet. The message is that if we apply the stake, a tree, which is a very popular old song, I'm sure you've heard the song, The Old Rugged Cross, on a hill far away, there stood an old rugged cross. This is the tree that they're talking about. To every situation we have in our life, we'll see the bitter turned into sweet. We have to apply the stake to our situations. We have to accept Yeshua for what he did 2,000 years ago as still operating in our lives today. Keep in mind that the victory that you experienced when Yah saved you and defeated all of hell and Hasatan had to stand in shame as Yah saved you from the principalities and powers. You have to apply that victorious standing you have now to every situation in your life. Apply his words to your life. And because of the stake, we know, I, you, am one with Yeshua HaMashiach. And if Yah is for me, who can be against me? I am one with Yeshua. We are dead, buried, and risen with Yeshua HaMashiach. When trouble comes, remember who made the stake, made us. When trouble comes, remember that who made that stake, made us. A people one with Yeshua HaMashiach. Why do people not apply the stake to their bitter waters? Mostly because they don't know the stake's power in putting them in victory means everyday experiences can be tackled and taken down. Everyday experiences. Most people think of the stake is for salvation. It's for more than salvation. The salvation's just the beginning. It is to get you out of the world, plus a lot more than that as well. There are truths of the stake that Yehovah is opening to us and his people in these last days that were practically unheard of before. People say that they need to be more holy than they are. They just don't know that their position in Yeshua HaMashiach is a position in the highest form of holiness that one could ever be. You can't be any holier than you are unless you're going against his word. People say they need to die daily to sin. Yet they never knew that in Mashiach, according to Romans 6 verses 7 to 11, for someone who has died has been cleared from sin. Now since we died with the Messiah, we trust that we also live with him. When you know that the Messiah has been raised from the dead, never to die again, death has no authority over him, for his death was a unique event that need not be repeated. But his life he keeps on living for Yehovah. In the same way, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive for Yehovah by your union with the Messiah Yeshua. The stake is very important because it is the first and only means that Yah made for us to be joined in one with Yeshua HaMashiach. People need to go back to the stake and understand all that they have missed. Some people say they need to rise above all of their enemies. But the same scriptures say that when we died with him, were buried with him, and were resurrected with him, also say that we are ascended with him far above all the principalities and powers, and we are seated at the right hand of the Father with him. Let us look at the next slide, please, in Ephesians 1:20-2:6. When he worked in the Messiah to raise him from the dead and seat him at his right hand in heaven, far above every ruler, authority, power, dominion, or other name that can be named, either in the Olam Hazeh, that is in the world that's gone, or in the Olam Haba, in the world to come. Also, he has put all things under his feet and made him head over everything for the Messianic community, which is his body, the full expression of him who fills all creation. You used to be dead because of your sins and acts of disobedience. You walked in the ways of the Olam Hazeh and obeyed the ruler of the powers of the air. Who is still at work among the disobedient? Indeed, we all once lived this way. We followed the passions of our old nature and obeyed the wishes of our old nature and our own thoughts. Our natural condition, we were headed for Yehovah's wrath. In our natural condition, we were headed for Yehovah's wrath, just like everyone else. But Yehovah is so rich in mercy and loves us with such intense love that even when we were dead because of our acts of disobedience, he brought us to life along with the Messiah. It is by grace that you have been delivered. That is, Yehovah raised us up with the Messiah Yeshua and seated us with him in heaven. Yehovah told the children in Shemot 15:26, he said, if you will listen intently to the voice of Yehovah your Elohim, do what he considers right, pay attention to his mitzvot, and observe his laws, I will not afflict you with any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, because I am Yehovah Rapha, Yehovah your healer. The diseased waters of Marah being healed was a sign that if they will follow Yehovah, none of these diseases Egypt knew would come upon them. We have to have the right mindset to navigate the adversities of this life. And the adversities are increasing daily. The problem is that the adversary knows you think you have to rise above him. Then he also knows you do not know you are already over him. And if you do not know you are already over him, then he can make you think you do not have a whole lot of other victories that you already have. He can say you're not holy enough. He can say you have not died to sin yet. He can say you're not good enough for Yah. He will give you all the doubts you need so that you do not succeed. The fact is, the stake made all of this ours the moment we obeyed Acts 2:38 and made the 3-day journey from death to resurrection. And this is why Yeshua used the word of Yah against the adversary at his testing. Yeshua did not have to roll up his sleeves and fight the adversary. He used the word of Yehovah straight out of the Torah. You do not need to fight the adversary in your life. The fight has already occurred and the enemy is defeated. The only battle is to believe the battle is already won. Now that's a hard challenge, I know. But you have to accept it and you have to walk in it. The battle is already won. It might feel as if it's not, but you have to rise above it because Yeshua has done it on the stake for you. The only fight we have is to fight the good fight of faith. Throw a tree, a piece of wood, into the poison waters. As crazy as it sounds, many think that the idea of the stake of 2,000 years ago was the place that you or I died is just as ridiculous. But it is true anyhow. Yehovah chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. When we know, like we know, like we know, that we are new creatures in Yeshua HaMashiach, and that we died to the old lives we lived in sin, that we know that we are united with Yeshua. And Yah sees our faith, and he is able to move on our behalves and perform wonders for us. But we do need to leave the old life buried behind us. We can't keep bringing it back into our lives. Once you are immersed, the old is gone. You must move forward into the new and let the past be dead. The past is not resurrected with Yeshua. It is your new person that is to live eternally with him. A while after these 3 days' journey, Israel finally came to Canaan. And as we described earlier, 12 spies went in to check the promised land. They spent 40 days there. There was a land where Yah's kingdom would be established. But 10 of them came back and said they could not enter because of their lack of faith and trust in him. Yah made those 40 days become 40 years of wandering in the wilderness until the last of the doubting adults died. Israel went into their 3 days into their journey, and then another 40 days came upon them. The same victory that defeated Egypt would soon defeat Canaan. But the people still doubted. After they'd heard about the 40 desert years, they still did not see that it was not them who would fight, but that Yehovah would fight for them. So then they tried to enter without Yah's approval. In Numbers 14 and 40 to 45, it says they rose early the next morning and came to the top of the mountain and said, "Here we are, we did sin, and now we'll go to the place Yehovah promised." Moshe answered, "Why are you opposing what Yehovah said? You won't succeed. Don't go up there, because Yehovah isn't with you. If you do, your enemies will defeat you. The Amalekim and the Canaanim are there ahead of you, and you will be struck down by the sword. The reason will be that you have turned away from following Yehovah, so that Yehovah won't be with you." But they were presumptuous and went on towards the high parts of the hill country, even though the Ark of the Covenant of Yehovah and Moshe stayed in the camp. So the Amalekim and the Canaanim, living in that hill country, descended, struck them down, and beat them back all the way to Horemah. They still didn't get the message that they weren't doing this on their own. It was Yehovah which was the one who was going to beat all their enemies. They weren't supposed to be doing it by themselves. They thought they could not handle the enemy, so they would not go in. But when they heard about dying in the wilderness, they tried their best to fight, and they lost. Both times, they did not get the point that Yehovah would win the battle, not them. And the same applies to us today. If you think you can win your battle, so you are like the children of Israel, you stand in unbelief. But then you see the danger, so you fight with all your might, and then you lose. You're not getting it. You might say, "Well, you said standing in fear and being afraid to enter is unbelief. So I went in, but I still failed." Times in your faith in Yehovah, upon your life will move Yah to fight the battles for you. Not that it must not be you who does the fighting. You can never fight your own battles. You have to let Yah do it. You have to take it to him in prayer. You have to give him all of your difficulties, all of your problems, and let him give you, through the word, through a still small voice, whatever it takes, for him to tell you what your next move must be. And if there's no answer, you don't move. You've got to trust him and let him direct you through every battle. Yes, we fail. We can fail in faith in Yehovah's power upon our lives, that Yah will move to fight the battles, but it must not be you who does the fighting. Yeshua went for 3 days' journey and was alive from the dead. In Acts 1, verse 3, it says, after his death, he showed himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. During a period of 40 days, they saw him, and he spoke with them about the kingdom of Yehovah. So it was a 3-day period and a 40-day period. Amazing how they line up, isn't it? And in verse 9, after saying this, he was taken before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. After 40 days of talking about the kingdom, Yeshua ascended. After 40 days about walking in the kingdom, Israel doubted and refused to face the enemy. There is a lesson here. Where did Yeshua ascend? He ascended above. He went up, disappeared in the clouds. So he ascended above all the enemies, according to what we read in Ephesians chapter 1. Israel faced the enemy after 40 days and then chickened out. The same blood that freed them from Egypt was for them to enter Canaan as well. They were above the enemies, for Yehovah was with them. But their inability to remember the word from Yehovah brought them defeat. We are ascended with Yeshua and are above our enemies also. But some people are so full of unbelief that they can hardly stop fighting each other, let alone enter the place of power in the kingdom and start casting down their adversaries. We are all above the principalities and powers of this world. We are seated in heavenly places in Yeshua HaMashiach. Can you guess where the principalities and powers are? They are in high places. They are in heavenly places. But we need to see we are over them and have already thrown them out. But like the children of Israel, if we look down at our own weaknesses and our own weak strength and not even think of the blood that set us free, we continue to think that we are not above anything. Yehovah set Israel free from Parao. They left the dynastic kingdom of Egypt. They would have thought it would have taken an atomic bomb to cripple the kingdom and stifle the military prowess of the nation and let Israel run free of any threat of military enclosure, or a clandestine espionage of 1,000 Hebrews to knock out the court guards and run and take Pharaoh hostage and demand Israel's freedom until they were safe from Egypt, to let Parao go in the desert. But what did Yehovah do? What did he say to the Hebrews to do? Kill a lamb. That's all they had to do. They didn't have to fight Parao. They just had to kill a lamb. Go into your homes, kill a lamb, and stay there. This must sound crazy to the reasonings of standards, but anyone can knock down our doors and take us captive. But no, they didn't even have locks on their doors. They just closed their doors kill a lamb, stay there. But that is what did it. Behold the Lamb, Yeshua HaMashiach. What did Yehovah look for to come down and be a shield against death on behalf of the Hebrews' homes? It was the blood around the doors on the mezuzah, the doorposts. When he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. All our imaginations about what great feats of human ingenuity and manpower could be implemented to defeat an entire kingdom called Egypt and all the overwhelming forces of means to try and stop death itself from touching Israel do not match the power of the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb did what knocked out the kingdom of Egypt with all its chariots, all its armies, all its world power force from harming Yehovah's people, who were mere slaves in the land. Our problem is that we do not know the power of the blood. There is enough power in the blood that all of our enemies we will ever face are simply no match for those united to Yeshua HaMashiach. If we are still trying to rise above the adversary, then Yah knows we don't know we are already above the adversary. Egypt is not only defeated, but the enemies have not even stood against us, yet have been defeated long ago. All you have to need to do is to go on in and take what is yours. You are already above the enemy. And we have Yeshua to thank for that. We have to walk in that. We have to believe in that. We have to get off the mindset that our enemies can attack us today. Go straight to the Word. Go straight to prayer. Wait for Yah. He is in control, no matter what the situation. Let's now go to the remembrance service and give thanks for what Yeshua did by laying down his life on that stake for us to give us that power.